Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We want to shift gears here for a moment and talk about something else that President Trump said that we believe is worthy of extra attention. It was on Sunday in an interview with CBS's Face the Nation.
I'm not leaving. We have a base in Iraq, and the base is a fantastic edifice. I mean, I was there recently, and I couldn't believe the money that was spent on these massive runways and these. I've rarely seen anything like it, and it's there, and will be there.
The president was referring to Al-Assad Air Force Base in Iraq's Anbar province. Now, Trump caused a stir when he seemed to suggest he'd use the base to watch Iran rather than assist Iraqis in fighting the Islamic State. So we thought it's time to take a closer look at the Al-Assad base and its strategic importance in the region, along with other military U.S. military installations throughout the Middle East. So let's turn now to Laura Seligman in Washington. She's Pentagon correspondent for Foreign Policy magazine. Laura, welcome to you.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. So first of all, tell us a little bit more about the Al-Assad Air Force Base. I think it's a base that most Americans haven't thought about in years, even though some form of American military installation has been there since the Iraq War. Is that right?
Yes, that is exactly right. It's important to go through sort of the history of the base. So it was actually built by Saddam Hussein, and the U.S. used it extensively in Operation Iraqi Freedom in the Iraq War. So they came in 2003. They spent about $300 million updating the base. In fact, it was actually called Camp Cupcake because of all the amenities, swimming pools, gyms, a Burger King, that kind of thing. So it was used extensively during that operation. Then it was turned over back to the Iraqis in 2011 with the drawdown. But then a couple years later, the base was actually overrun by the Islamic State. And in 2014, 2015, the Iraqi government invited us back in to help fight the Islamic State. So today, this is actually one of the largest U.S. military hubs in Iraq, but it's mostly used for logistics and training of the Iraqi security forces. The exact number and makeup of U.S. forces there is classified, but we likely are trying to keep the footprint relatively small. It's unlikely we have a fighter jet squadron there, for example, although we did add a couple hundred troops in there in 2016 to prepare for the Battle of Mosul. The important thing is to remember is that they're explicitly for the counter-ISIS mission, not to, quote, watch Iran.
Right. So we'll talk more about that in a moment because it's vitally important here. But I'm also seeing that the base is it currently the headquarters of the 7th Division of the Iraqi Army? And is there an Iraqi infantry training school there?
There is also an Iraqi presence there as well.
Okay.
It's joint Iraqi and U.S.
I see. Okay. So then tell us more about what you were just saying, that its primary mission is to fight against the Islamic State here. And it seems as if efforts out of Al-Assad base have been rather successful recently in Iraq.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So Al-Assad is in Anbar province, as you know, in Iraq. It's this sort of a large and desert-like area, largely unpopulated, and the people that are there are mainly Sunnis. So this is sort of the perfect ground for ISIS to come in, and since many of these Sunnis are disenfranchised when Saddam was removed from power and a Shia government came in to rule the country, many of these residents became disenfranchised and then turned to ISIS for support or even to join them. And so it's sort of a perfect place for the U.S. to be, to launch attacks out of, to train Iraqi security forces there to fight ISIS. It's also important to note here that, as you know, U.S. military plans in the region are pretty fluid, but officially there has been no change in the mission. General Votel, the commander of U.S. Central Command, said yesterday before the Senate that the mission in Iraq and at Al-Assad Air Base has not changed. We have not shifted from counter-ISIS to watching Iran. However, just like in Syria, being there is one more place from which we can pressure Iran indirectly, symbolically, just by being there. But also, it's a base for aircraft, for surveillance aircraft, special operations forces who can survey Iranian activity in Syria in particular. Obviously, we're not allowed to overfly Iran.
Right. Well, I mean, you mentioned aircraft there here. And just to harken back for a moment to what the president said in that clip that we played at the top of our conversation, he was very impressed with, quote, the massive runways here. And they are massive. They're 14,000 feet, 13,000 feet long, respectively. The entire perimeter of the base, I'm reading here, is 24 kilometers long. So it's a huge installation here. But to talk more specifically, as we should, about why what the president said on Sunday, why it upset the Iraqis in particular, let's listen to more of what President Trump said to CBS's Margaret Brennan about his plans at the moment for U.S. troops in Iraq.
You're keeping troops in Iraq because you want to be able to strike in Iran?
No, because I want to be able to watch Iran. All I want to do is be able to watch. We have an unbelievable and expensive military base built in Iraq. It's perfectly situated for looking at all over different parts of the troubled Middle East. Mm-hmm. Rather than pulling up, and this is what a lot of people don't understand, we're going to keep watching, and we're going to keep seeing. And if there's trouble, if somebody's looking to do nuclear weapons or other things, we're going to know it before they do.
That's President Donald Trump on CBS's Face the Nation on Sunday. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Now, Laura, I think we should talk about why, as you pointed out, there's been no formal change in mission for U.S. troops at operating out of al-Assad Air Force Base here. But the Iraqis were very upset, though, at the president even suggesting that perhaps the primary mission of the base at some time in the future would be to, quote, watch Iran. So tell us more about why the Iraqis were so upset.
Yeah, so this is an interesting point. Obviously, U.S. forces in Iraq are one of the indirect missions is to sort of watch and pressure Iran. But this isn't something that the Iraqi government necessarily wanted to be highlighted out in the public, and it presents a lot of problems for them diplomatically. The Iraqi government has never authorized a counter-Iran mission, and that is particularly sensitive for them. They're majority Shia. There are lots of trade and cultural and family ties to Iran. So now that the president has actually said this and put this in the public sphere, the Iraqi government is looking to push back. In fact, in the parliament, there are some measures being considered that may try to kick U.S. forces out or otherwise put some restrictions on the movements of U.S. forces. And this is all coming about because the president has highlighted this in a way that the Iraqis don't want it to be highlighted.
Mm. Now, I'm seeing reports here that senior military officials, U.S. military officials, have recently visited several Iraqi bases, including Erbil and al-Assad, as we're talking about. You know, I guess they're thinking about, you know, future troop deployments as and when the United States fully withdraws from Syria. So let's, like, just for a minute here, Laura, let's zoom out the camera here and talk about American military installations in the region. I would presume that there are enough of them such that no matter what the mission is, the military is going to be well positioned to do things like watch Iran or, as you were mentioning, keep an eye on Syria, even if aircraft cannot fly over Syrian airspace.
Yes, I think that's definitely true. One of the things that is happening as the U.S. withdraws forces from Syria is that these forces are actually getting moved to some of these bases in Iraq. And I think the president spoke about that publicly, the redeployment of some of these troops to elsewhere in Iraq. But another thing they're considering is keeping a small presence at a base called Al-Tanf, a very small remote base in southeast Syria. Quite far away from the fight that the U.S. Has been doing with the Kurds in the northeast against ISIS across this sort of deconfliction line we've had with Russia and the Syrian regime, very close to the Jordanian border. And the important thing about this base is that it is on a very potentially important Iranian supply route through through Jordan and Syria to Lebanon. And then obviously from Lebanon, they can threaten Israel. So this, unlike Assad, al-Tanf is actually geographically, strategically important to Iran. Mm. And so keeping a U.S. presence there allows us to keep an even closer eye. Obviously, Syria shares a border with Iran in a way that Iraq does not. And so this is one of the things that we're looking at potentially doing to another way to keep a close eye on Iran.
We've got about 30 seconds left here, Laura. I mean, what's the balance between ending the quote-unquote endless wars that President Trump talks about, Afghanistan, Iraq, et cetera, and the maintenance of massive U.S. military facilities in these countries? Will we ever have an end to these endless wars for as long as millions and millions of dollars and U.S. troops are on the ground there?
Well, it's important to remember that the U.S. has a presence of large presence globally. We still have troops in Germany and Korea. So we actually do maintain U.S. forces sort of around the world at these installations. In the Middle East in particular, it actually is kind of difficult and requires a lot of logistics and more people to take people away that are already there than it would be just leaving them. So we actually have to spend money to withdraw from Syria. So, you know, on balance, you have to realize that part of this is that the U.S. does keep a global presence over to watch our enemies and fight terrorists and make sure we can project power.
Well, Laura Seligman, Pentagon correspondent for Foreign Policy Magazine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is On Point.